Next step number 670, April 8th, 2021.
Hi there, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Thanks for tuning into the Next Step with Father Vazgen. We are the voice of Armadoxy, a weekly podcast started in 2008 that looks at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. We reach out to those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're here, and if you're a regular listener, welcome back. Now, let's get ready to take the next step.
What a week! It was Easter like none other. I mean, you know, we've been away for a whole... Last year, we didn't have an Easter. Well, we did, but it was like stifled. It was like muffled. I mean, if that's possible. You know, there's that passage where Jesus enters into Jerusalem and he's told like, hey, tell the people to be quiet. And what does he say? You know, if every mouth were closed, the stones would start to sing. The stones would start to praise. Like, this is a special moment in history, and it's happening. And I felt that this year. I mean, we had been away from church so long. Obviously, we're in there every Sunday, but the people, I mean, it was just really nice. You could see tears in people's eyes as they came up to receive communion, as they participated, and so many people. I mean, I can't even count how many people came up and just were just truly elated that they had an opportunity to be in church on Easter or at one of the Easter services. It was interesting this year because the services during the week were populated as well. And it seemed like, you know, people came to one, other. There was people that you expected on Easter, you know, like your usual crowd, the Easter crowd. They weren't there, but they showed up at different times. I think people had a strategy of staying away and being in the right place. And how many people did I meet who said thank you for the broadcast that we have, for this next step? They just thankful that in their confined, they were able to connect with us. And I even had some guy come up to me and say, you know, you got it all wrong. It's WD-40. It's not what he says. What is that 168? And so I had to explain to him 168 is the number of hours in a week. And if you watch this week's show, I make a point of just spelling it out. 168 hours in a week. That's 24 hours a day times 7. 168 hours a week. So anyway, he gave me a lecture on how WD-40 is a great product because it loosens up dirt. Anyway, it was interesting. Let's just say it at that, okay? Let's just leave it at that. So many people just really celebrating Easter as it should be. As it should be. And, you know, there's that saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder. I think just being away from everything for a year just brought people together in a different way. So there was a miracle event that happened this Easter week. I'm going to share with you some of the insights, some of the things that happened inside. Also today, we are doing next step number 670. And it's the first time we are doing a Next Step broadcast without the technical guidance of Ken. Mr. Nalik has left us on good terms. He's gotten of an age and he's going to be spending some time. He's left for Jakarta. Actually, we were hoping that today would have been his last one. And I think we even announced it. I'm not sure if we announced it yet, last week, but we thought this was going to be his last week. But right after Easter services, he took off. And I'm going to share some insights, just what it's been like working with this really miracle worker. I mean, when you look at what he's done with the equipment that we have and taking these files and making them into programs, putting the music and the different themes together. It's really remarkable and true to form. He's one of a kind. Ken is one of a kind. We're going to miss him, but we are getting through. And fortunately, he left us with templates. And we've got these templates that we're working with. And right now, I hope we're going to be okay. So if you hear a hiccup here or there, you'll know. That's a good sign that Ken was here. Okay, I'll share that with you at the end because there's some tragic stories that go with Ken. And I asked him with his permission if I could share that with you too, because it hasn't been pleasant. As you all know, that you know he was a heavy smoker, and some stories to come up. We'll save that towards the end of today's show, okay? So for right now, let's start off with Easter. Christos Hariavi Merelots. Christ has risen. And that's the way we greet one another. And as you know, so much of my ministry around the Easter season, whether it's the Lenten journey or preparations for the Holy Week, I make a real honest point of telling people that, you know, you really want to understand what it means, Christos Hariavi Merelots. You really want to know what it means that Christ is risen from the dead. You really have to take advantage. You have to, I know that's not popular, right? You have to take advantage of what the church is offering, of the services. You have to take advantage of the different periods that we have, the Lenten period in particular. Because once you start living through this, and especially Holy Week, when you walk with Christ, it has a different meaning. And I likened it, I think last week or the week before, I came up with this metaphor. And it was interesting because today, this morning, I had to do a funeral of a 74-year-old man who succumbed to COVID-19. And we were with the family, and there was quite a bit of people at the funeral. And I think we've loosened up over here because the funeral was outside in an outside makeshift tent. So it's not inside the chapel, but it's a makeshift tent for at the cemetery. So things have moved around, whereas, you know, just a few weeks ago, it was like they were only allowing 10 to 20 people by the graveside. So today there was a fair number of people there. And, you know, I made the point of when you go to a funeral, to pay your respects, there's nothing wrong with that, right? In fact, it's very nice. It's very considerate. But you don't particularly go because you know the person who passed away. You're going to pay your respects to the family who have had a loss, who have seen some tragedy. And so in that same spirit, a lot of times we go to church on Easter out of an obligation. Okay, maybe, but I think it's more out of respect. And this came to me this year. It's really not that Easter obligation. It's more of that Easter respect. I know that Easter is the special feast, and I know it's very nice, and so I'll go to church on Easter, and it's just like going to a funeral, right? You go to a funeral out of respect. It's okay. It's okay. It's very nice that you did that. When you go to church on Easter Sunday, it's very nice that you did that. But does it have the same impact as the funeral has upon people who knew him? And today, you know, we were there with quite a few people at this funeral. And you could tell the ones that knew the gentleman who passed, 74 years old, is relatively not old. And he had died of COVID and kind of like crept up. The date of his death was February, beginning of February. Can you believe that? It's 2 months later today. 2 months exactly later that we're sitting there and doing a funeral. So people, that's just to give you a perspective of how great the demand is right now because of COVID. In fact, this cemetery, you could look it up. It's called Rose Hills. It's just outside of Los Angeles in a small area called Whittier. It's the largest cemetery, I believe, in the United States. Today, my eyes were opened. They have opened up a new section on the other side of the Rose Hills. Between one of the entrances and the other entrance, because I had to drive to the other entrance, 2 miles. 2 miles just between the entrances. And then once you go into the park, there's this hole, like, if I could tell you, like a mountain chain that they've just opened up for the newly deceased. And so we were there seeing all this. And this scene, you know, gets to you. And there are people who are actually crying because they know the person who died. There are people who are feeling sad. There are people who are hugging. That's quite different from the people who just came for a respect. Out of a respect for the person. Again, nothing wrong. You go there and you have respect for the person. Again, nothing wrong. You go to Easter service out of respect, out of a responsibility, out of a tradition, out of an obligation. You go in there and you know that that's part of the ritual, that on Easter Sunday we go to church. But how much different is it if you live through that Lenten journey, if you live through the articles of faith which have been given to us, whether it's the Bible passages, the different parables that have been offered to us, how much different is that message that Christ has come out of the grave? Well, why? Because on Holy Friday, you're sitting there inside the church with tears running down your eyes that this innocent person was put upon a cross. Innocent, that even beyond innocent, because all he did was good. An innocent person would be, I would say, somebody who just an innocent bystander, we say. Jesus wasn't a bystander. He was a person who loved. And he went out and he loved. He took care of people. He healed people. And this person who was full of love and compassion towards people was put upon a cross, but not before they beat him, before they spit on him, before they humiliated him, before they roughed him up. And in that condition, they put him up on a cross. There is a movie called The Passion of the Christ, came out a few years ago by Mel Gibson. Still, I think it's one of the strongest movies because it makes the point that when we talk about Jesus's passion, it wasn't just like, okay, let's take him over to a tree and nail him up to that. It was whipping, flogging. It was taking the skin off of his body. And, you know, the entire humiliation of a person who has created humanity. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. To be crucified by your creation. By your creation. And then, on top of everything else, the ultimate love. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. And in this sense, when you see all that, on Sunday morning, when the message comes out, Christos Hariavi Merelos, Christ has risen from the dead. Wow. Now that's no longer just because of obligation. That's no longer out of respect. That means you were there. You were crying on Friday. And now the joy is beyond belief. The joy is beyond belief because your Lord and Savior did not die on a cross. The one who was love incarnate showed that love never ends. That love continues. That love cannot be killed. This is massive. And this is what we celebrate on Easter morning. So I have to tell you, it was just a very special Easter week because we had so many people. And those of you who have been part of this Next Step and part of our In His Shoes ministry know that this past few months have been really trying for all of us. In the ministry, because we've been trying to reach out as much as we can, getting out this message, trying to use the mediums that we have. And then on top of that, we've had to deal with the COVID crisis, and even extra for me because one of our priests who succumbed to that and was considerably ill, we had to cover for him. And just, it's been trying to say it, to say it very nicely. It's been a trying time. So you can imagine that when that message came out, Christ has resurrected, how different it is for somebody who has lived with the person as opposed to just showing up for out of respect. And I hope I made that clear that, you know, there's nothing wrong with doing something out of respect. That's nice. It's nice. When I say nothing wrong, I'm not being judgmental. I'm just saying, like, in other words, to me, that's fine. You know, do it. But when you're there, wow. Wow! And it's with that wow that we're going to take a break right now. Okay, I hope I gave you something to think about. Because when I come back, I want to talk about something very interesting that that came to mind. It was just a combination of a lot of things throughout Holy Week. Namely, that the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was something that he didn't need to do. I'll leave you with that teaser, okay? And no, it's not what you think. It's not like I'm trying to rewrite the Bible. I know there's a lot of people. No, I'm not going to rewrite it. I'll leave you with that teaser. We take a break every week, okay? We play a song of the day. It's a time for us to digest some of what's been said and kind of put things in perspective. And as we get ready for the second portion of today's show. The Anthem of Easter, Kovia Yerusalem, praise be to Jerusalem. And therefore, the Anthem of Christian Church, right? You knew I would play this. I love this song. To me, this is where our head should be. Praising Jerusalem, praising God that today death has been conquered. It is just such a beautiful the way it is presented. By the way, that was the seminarians at the Vosgenyan Seminary over at Lake Sevan off of a CD that was, I would say, maybe about 10 years ago, 10, 12 years ago, that it was made. Just a beautiful collection of hymns, Sharagans, and this one, Kovia Yerusalem. Of course, the Easter celebration. And I wanted to play that because can't play it enough. It always takes me back. You know, it always was to me an anthem, but it takes me back to my... I had so many special feelings this past week, among which were reflections of my mom, one of which was on the eve of Chavarum, darkness. That's done on Holy Thursday night, where we recount the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this hymn, Ures Maidim, where is my mother? It's sung in complete darkness, and it's Christ on the cross. Where is my mother? You know, it's one of the words that Scripture records, that he called out, "Where is my mother?" And you realize that that's the ultimate primal scream, right? It doesn't matter what your relationship has been with your mom. Some had been terrible, but still, it's primal. It's like you go back. Who else would care for you? Who else is going to be there at that moment? He's hanging on a cross. Where is my mother? And I shared with you last week, you know, that we were seeing images of those kids being dropped off at the U.S. border. And the laws of the United States are such that if you get to the border and you're a minor, they will take you in. So parents in desperation are dumping their kids, literally dumping their kids on the border. And you can imagine those children. Ures maerim, where is my mother? And that connection for me was so real on Holy Thursday that it was so necessary to make that. In other words, this isn't about a 2,000-year-old story. This is about something that's happening right now. Where is my mother? And I had reflections of my own mother at that time. And this song that we just heard, Kovia Yerusalem, it takes me back too, because I love this song. To me, it's like I said, it's the anthem of the Christian church. It's praise that today everything, when you conquer death, everything has been conquered. Hariav Christos, Christ has risen. And I always, you played that song, and there it was at my mother's funeral. And let's say, at the very end of it, we had quite a bit of clergymen there. And at the very end, His Eminence, the Archbishop, after singing the Lord's Prayer with everybody, he just broke out and he said, "Let's sing Kovia Yerusalem." And it was so beautiful. It's like, yeah, this is what it's about. Death, where is thy sting? You haven't won. Death, you haven't won. Where is thy sting? It was beautiful. And so I had like this double reflection. And you know what? Let's do a double song of the day, right? Well, yeah. I mean, it's our show. We could do it, right? We'll do two songs. Of course we will. And let's celebrate. This is Ures Maerim, Where is My Mother? This is by the Luis Vocal Quintet. This is a small group, five ladies singing a cappella. We heard them in the caves of Gerard. And just, this is goosebumps all over when you hear them in that setting. I don't know if it'll translate over this podcast, but it gets us into the mood. This is Ures Maerim, the Luis Vocal Quintet. And when we come back, we'll continue with our show.
So
Uresmaidim, Where Is My Mother? Beautiful song. And you could imagine, you could imagine the feelings that it conjures as you're sitting there on Holy Thursday inside of a dark church and you've just read the narrative of the Passion. So you've read the stories from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about Jesus' trial, about that the humiliation, about the betrayal, the anger, the sufferings, and then finally landing on a cross, being convicted to death on a cross, and Jesus singing, "Where is my mother?" And it's a nice segue into the second portion of today's show, because I wanted to ask you this question. It was something that came to mind last night. I was participating in a Bible study that we had over at the at St. Leon's. And the idea that Jesus on the cross, did he need to die on a cross? And no, I'm not asking the question you might think I'm asking. It's not about, did Jesus have to die? I'm talking specifically about Jesus on the cross. His crucifixion is not for his sake. Okay? Is that a better way of saying it? He dies on the cross for our sake. I know there's that saying, for Christ's sake. No, it's not for Christ's sake. It's for our sake. And it's interesting because when we look at the story of the crucifixion, so many times we isolate it as an incident that happened 2,000 years ago without actually drawing the parallels to life today, to the sufferings that are endured by so many people, to that very simple statement that Jesus says, when you do for the least of my brothers, you have done it for me. His equation of himself, of the God child being around us, all around us. And so it's the challenge evermore to see that on that cross is not this character from 2,000 years ago only, but it's humanity. It's all of us all around. And when he dies, we talk about his crucifixion as if he had to do this. And thank you, you did this for us. But we don't make the connection that it's for our sake that he went up on that cross. He didn't need to die on the cross for himself, for his sake, for Christ's sake. He needed to die there for our sake. And it's an important distinction because it puts it in the context of what is our faith about, what we talk about many times, about responsibility as human beings, about God giving us this faith and for us to understand that it's not some magical formula out there that, without your will, it's imposed upon you, but it is completely dependent upon your will that says, yes, I will accept it, and yes, I am willing to follow. I am willing to take the cross. I shared with you today, I did a funeral. The man was 74 years old. His story, I could tell you, I didn't know the man. I did this because a friend of a friend had asked me, and I told the audience there that I didn't know the person, but I did know him. His story is a familiar story. Born in Aleppo, Haleb. Family, one parent dies just because there's so much work, so much pressure. They immigrate to Lebanon, where he gets married. And it happens to be year 1975. Well, go look it up. Civil war in Lebanon. And then they run out. They have to make their way. And they finally end up in the United States. It's such a similar story to the thousands of people that we come across every day in our ministry. People who have gone through so much persecution. And they have ended up here as the last station stop, so to speak, on this train that just keeps going, you know. But this is the last station stop because from here there isn't anywhere else to go. America, you've got this freedom, but there's a cost for that freedom, and across that, the cost for that freedom is unfortunately a loss of identity. And that's what a lot of people are finding out, is a bigger loss than anyone had ever bargained for. Because, and I'm not talking about, okay, you're no longer Armenian, but an identity of what is important. So I was talking about this man, and, you know, you read his biography. It's so similar to so many other people of that generation whose parents were genocide survivors. They were born in the aftermath of genocide. They started with nothing. They created a life for themselves. It's the God person within them. You know, these are not people that had to stand there on a corner reading a Bible and thumping scripture and saying, yeah, Jesus loves me. They knew Jesus loved them, and therefore they become the best that they possibly can be. And despite incredible odds, they are able to create family. They are able to accept citizenship in a foreign country. They learn the language. They get educated. They make sure their children go through proper education so that they can have the things that they themselves could not have. And you go on and on, and you look through it, and you realize that, okay, here's the model that Christ set up. At the funeral service, as well as at Hokyankis, the Requiem Mass, you always hear this passage. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single seed. But by dying, it produces a rich harvest, many grains, right? He who loves his life shall lose it. He who hates his life shall keep it for eternal life. And you hear this over and over, and nobody really questions it. They just think it's a cutesy kind of thing. There's nothing cute about it. It's an axiom. It's a truth. It's a truth being said. First of all, it depends on somebody to understand some basic gardening. If you've done some basic gardening, you know that you have to take the seed. You have to put it into the earth where it dies. Yeah, it dies. And then it produces a new life within itself. And that life produces more grains. In other words, produces a harvest. And part of that is the grains, the new seeds that come out. And Jesus, of course, was reflecting about his own life, that he came and like a grain of wheat, he had to die. But after his death, there would be the new church that would produce, that has to produce, it's commissioned to produce. But the same is true for people. And so here's a man, and there are many like him who are of that generation. You may know people, your parents or somebody, if you're of that, Armenians will especially relate to this because so many of us were fortunate enough to have parents of that generation after the genocide or grandparents of that generation. And these were people that, against incredible odds, whether it was from Aleppo, where they came from, whether it was in communist Armenia, they were taken there during the Stalin regime, Haydn Atar's people who were taken back there, whether it was those in Iran and saw the fall of the Shah, whether it was those people from Beirut who saw this, what was it called, the Paris of the Middle East, and saw that fall apart during civil war. And all these things are happening, and everywhere that they go, there's these tragedies one on top of another until they finally get to a place where they can hang their hat, where they can relax, where they can freely worship, where they can freely work, they can freely talk, they can freely express themselves. And, you know, there's the opportunity, an opportunity to be all that you can be. And there's so many beautiful stories like this. And these are the triumph stories. These are stories that come a little bit from the opportunity that's given, but also the God that's within them. And it's this point you cannot discount, because here's the magic of it. Today, do this right now. If you have, I won't say her name out loud, Alexa, give me, oh, too late, I already said it now. Oh, good. She's not listening.
As a noun, 2 is usually defined as the cardinal number, that is the sum of 1 and 1 or
a new. Okay, Alexa, off. Thank you. All right. So, anyway, you know who I'm talking about. Go ahead and ask.
As a noun, 2 is usually defined as the cardinal
okay, number, Alexa, that is the sum of 1 and 1. Off. Okay. Gotta watch out. She's always listening. Okay. Ask her or do a Google search for Amazon. Okay. Go on there and do a how to be a good husband, how to be a good father, how to be a good mother, how to be a good wife. You can see tons of books and in different, in hardback, in paperback, in Kindle editions. These people did not have Amazon, Barnes & Noble. They didn't need to go and check out books about how to become the best father, the best mother, the best uncle, aunt. They just were. They were. They were just the best husband, the best wife, the best father, the best mother. Why? Because they had that God inside of them. It wasn't like they had to thump through and say, hey, I'm a Christian, look at me, you know, I read the Bible and everything. They're living Bibles. And so come back to that passage. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life will keep it for eternal life. What is that hatred? It's about sacrifice. It's about giving your life to others, sharing the life that God has given you, taking the talents that you have and sharing it. So that it's not about me. It's not about I did this. It's about the we. We did this together. It's about we did it for each other. We helped one another. And Jesus over and over and over in everything that he teaches talks about the necessity of giving to others. When you've done it for the least of my brothers, you've done it for me. Who are my brother and my mother? Those who hear the word of God and do it. It's just built into everything that he does. And that's why he says, he who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life will keep it for eternal life. Why? Because where I am, there will my faithful servant be. He will be following me. That's what it means. The Jesus on the cross is calling us to follow him. And that crucifixion, yes, it is painful, but it's the painful direction of where we need to be going. In that pain, we find the strength, as Jesus did, to be able to stand there and say, my life is lived for others, for my family, for my loved ones, for people that I don't really know, but I know that they need help. And imagine if we started doing this, one for another. We start living the Christian life instead of just dying for the Christian life. As so often we are taught, you have to die for the Christian. You have to live the Christian life. And during the Easter season, we've been given that opportunity to see Jesus move to the cross, but beyond the cross to see that resurrection. And so coming back to the question, for whose sake did Jesus get crucified? For our sake. It's not a magical formula that he died and therefore we're okay. It's he died and he gives us this example of humility. As I did it, you do for others. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Just as I loved you, you too ought to love others. Love one another as I have loved you. This is it. It's about caring. It's about having compassion. It's about walking in the shoes of others to feel their pain. And we get to the final point from the Holy Week services. I was surrounded by an unusual group of people this week at Holy Week, including a few former priests who were there, including priests who are still priests and doing services. And I started seeing so many different personalities, among which were people that had bitterness, people who had difficulty in expressing. And I really put to test this little formula that we have of walking in the shoes of others. And as I heard people commenting and saying things, I tried to feel myself in the shoes of them. In other words, given all of the things that they have gone through, it makes sense that they would be saying these things, that they would be feeling these things. And I listened and I had compassion. Now, why am I saying this? Because what does Jesus do up at the cross? He says, Father, forgive them. Why? Because they do not know what they are doing. And boom, it hit me. As we were reading that passage, it hit me. Jesus up on the cross made that decision that the people did not know what they were doing. Why? Because he put his feet in the shoes of others. The incarnation was about that. Jesus becoming God, becoming man, living amongst us, feeling our pain, tzavadanim, putting his feet in the shoes of others and understanding that we do not know what we are doing. And therefore, we are worthy of that forgiveness because we really don't know what we're doing. We're crucifying our Savior. And when we look around and we hear people who complain, people who have difficulties in their lives and everything, take a moment to just stop, put your feet in their shoes, and can you understand and say, forgive them. They really don't know what they are doing. And just as I said, imagine a world where we were helping another. Imagine a world where we were forgiving one another. Just imagine that. And if you do, you can imagine peace. Those are my reflections from Holy Week 2021, a year after a pandemic had just closed us up, and now we were finding one another. Here's Susie to make an announcement. Then I'm going to come back and share with you kind of a difficult story, a story about one of our crew that is no longer on the show. He's no longer with us here. No, it hasn't expired, but with his permission, I'm going to share this with you. By the way, I hope I didn't set off too many of those devices by saying those words. I guess I should have cautioned you, but I won't say that anymore. Right now, yes, the piano player's here, so we can say it. Alexa, where's Susie?
Susie here again, popping in to say thank you to you, our listeners. We are thankful for your prayers, kind expressions, and donations. You make this podcast possible. Your listenership and support has allowed us to grow and expand our ministry around the globe. We are grateful to be able to touch so many lives and create lasting friendships. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world and look forward to your continued support. Thank you and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you all of you for the wonderful love that you share with us, your kind words, your prayers that go a long way. And yes, happy Easter to all of you. I really appreciated all of the sweet notes and pictures. And I'm always really surprised at all of these small little graphics that surface around Easter and Christmas time. And I appreciate all of them. So as I mentioned today, after 13 and a half years, has it been? 12 and a half years that we've been doing this show. Our engineer, Ken, is no longer with us. He moved with his new bride to Jakarta, and we wish him only the best. We thought he was going to be on this week, and we thought we'd have an opportunity to share some sweet moments, tender moments, but it has been an interesting ride. He has been with us from the very beginning, organizing and putting together so much of this show, which we call The Next Step, because he was a genius. He was a genius when he sat down at the computers. He was a genius using the software, putting it all together and organizing it, and we will definitely miss him. He did have some difficulties in life, including some health issues. He was a chronic smoker, and in fact, in the early years of The Next Step, he would smoke in the studio, causing us to really section off a part of it, because it was pretty, you know, for an hour-long show, it would go through like a few cigarettes, and it got really smoky in there, and it started to stain the window between us, you know, in the little booth that he was in. So we eventually had to tell him he couldn't smoke in the studio, to which he'd always say, okay, I'm just going outside, or he'd open up a window, which caused other problems, which was now we were no longer soundproof. Anyway, that's a long story. But he did go through some difficulties, and with his permission, I asked if I could share the story, because I always found it fascinating. So there was this service, Schick, I don't know if it was a group or what it was, but it was a smoking cessation program that they had, and you would go pay a fee. And what they do is they treat you with very mild electric shock. So I guess you would take a puff, and they would shock you, and you know, this is not by any means any sci-fi thriller or anything. It was all done within things. He'd talk about it, and he said it was just so mild. But subconsciously, every time you would take a smoke, you would associate it with this little tiny little pain, to the point where you would stop smoking. And he said it worked. It worked for others, and it worked for him. So he stopped smoking. But what happened was he started getting the shakes after that, because he was so dependent on the nicotine and everything. So he had basically taken care of the psychological need to smoke, but couldn't deal with the physical addiction that he had to the nicotine, I guess. And here's the interesting part. This is what I wanted to share with you, is that it got so bad, his shakes and the way he was reacting to it, that he had to go and ask not for his money back, but to reprogram him to smoke. Yeah. Isn't that wild? Yeah, they could not, the effects of not smoking outweighed the effects of smoking, or did I get that right? Yeah. So in other words, what they had to do is they had to reintroduce smoking to him. And so he started smoking again by, I guess, a reverse electric shock. I don't know how it works, but they had to do that. And I found that was interesting. And actually, we just brought up the thing. It's called quitassist.com. And we Googled Schick smoking cessation. We'll put a link on today's show notes. I don't know why. We'll just put it there. But we were very happy that a couple of years ago, he was able to kick the habit on his own. And we were very happy that during these last couple of years, we were to see the new Ken. He got married recently to a lovely lady named Alice D. And together, well, they're off in Jakarta. We wish him only the best and thank him for all the years of service, which he so willingly and lovingly came and gave and sacrificed and gave as a volunteer service, because he believed in what we were doing, and also because he just loved playing around with all the technical gizmos that we had to make this show possible. Thank you, Ken, for all of your service, and with you and Alice, wish you all the best. That does it for today's show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. You can get in touch with us about anything, but particularly about the show, about our ministry, about our Bible studies, our prayer groups, anything. You can reach us by email at feedback@epostle.net. That's apostle with an E, apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. We're on all the socials and, of course, on the mothership, inhisshoes.org. On behalf of our producer, Susie, and myself, we thank you for joining us and look forward to seeing you again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off-balance top limits.